Johnny presents the Milton Berle Show. Make no mistake, of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris, and only Philip Morris, is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement. So take a tip from Johnny and... From Radio City in New York, here is the Milton Berle Show. With Bert Kelton, Jack Albertson, Johnny Gibson, Mary Shipp, Charlie Irving, Billy Sands, Roger DeCoven, our singing star Dick Farney, Ray Block and his orchestra, and yours truly, Frank Keller. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, you're great.
This week, New York City celebrates the 50th anniversary of the joining together of its five boroughs. The star of our show was born in New York, raised in New York, and tonight, as usual, his program will die in New York. And here he is, Milton Berle.
Thank you. I'll die in New York. You buried me already. Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ah, New York, New York. It used to be the city of skyscrapers. Today, it's the city of snowscrapers. It's no joke. How do you... Got off to nothing there. How do you like the weather we're having? Today, New York has the kind of weather that California says about Florida. Wait a minute, that didn't come out right. Nothing but snow and ice. The city is packed with visitors, people from Alaska coming here for winter sports. The Republicans finally found out where the cold came from Eisenhower's shoulder. Ike. Yes, sir. This week, Eisenhower made his statement. He said, I'd rather be Dwight than president. That's his first name, folks. Thank you, Democrats. But this is Eisenhower. Eisenhower dropping out gave Dewey a lot of confidence. Yesterday, I saw Dewey down at Macy's ordering an awning for Truman's balcony. Well, look, if we're going to get together, not single, everybody together. Thank you very much.
Burl.
That's enough. Take down the sign.
Burl, we're saluting New York, not politics.
Oh, that's right. New York, we're saluting. You're right, Mr. Gallup. And you don't know this, do you? But, I was born in New York. I was. Oh, what a neighborhood. It was a business section. Everybody was in the same business. Murder Incorporated. Boy, what a tough neighborhood. You could always tell a newcomer. He had ears. Oh, boy, what a neighborhood. The kids were all gambling. Even the school was called PS 8 to 5. Some jokes, eh, Mr. Gallup? Some jokes, eh? Wasn't that a great opening routine?
Yes, it's like the snow in the Bronx.
It is?
It just lays there.
Stop milking the audience. There's no milking of the audience. Leave that to me. Milk and Burl. It lays there the snow. That was a jazzy joke. But enough, Mr. Gallup, of my childhood. Mr. Gallup, let's hear how you lived. You did live once, didn't you?
Burl, I was born in Boston.
In Boston? Major. Yes, born in Boston, huh?
Yes, mother was back bay and father had it in front.
That's a belly laugh. Mr. Gallup, tell me, did you have a very exciting childhood?
No, I led a very sheltered life.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I was 35 that I discovered there were certain things does couldn't do.
Oh, that's wonderful. The Gallups of Boston. Your family was pretty ritzy. Ritzy, weren't they?
Oh, yes. Mother used to hold her nose so high, the old girl was always short-circuiting telephone wires.
Nothing. Mr. Gallup... That's nothing. That's nothing. Mr. Gallup, I suppose you went to Harvard?
Harvard?
Did you?
Well, we used to send our butlers to Harvard.
Oh. Well, how were you educated?
traveling with Father.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go on trophy hunting expeditions through the African jungles.
Sounds exciting.
Oh, it was. One year he came home with a shrunken head.
A shrunken head?
Yes, he still can't find a hat small enough to fit it.
Well, what a full life you've had, Mr. Gallup. And here you are, a big success on this program.
Girl, any success on this program I owe to one woman.
Your mother?
No, your mother. She's the only one who laughs.
Mr. Gallup, that was cute. That was fascinating. You took the story of a gallop and slowed it down to a walk. You should speed it up to a canter, and I wish you were on his program. And now... No, I'm kidding. Bob, before someone thinks that this is a low for station identification, let us continue as we salute New York City. New York, the world's melting pot. It's called melting pot because we spend so much money clearing the snow that by the time it starts melting, we haven't got a pot. This, then, is New York.
New York was discovered by Dutch explorers in 1609, but they didn't settle until 2 years later.
Couldn't find a parking space.
In 1626, New York was bought from the Indians for $24. The deal was completed when an Indian said,
"Suckers, you could have gotten the clients for $16.95."
But when the Indians realized how they'd been cheated, their chief laid down the following curse.
May this ground never know peace. May continual bickering, fighting, and bloodshed take place on this spot.
He was right. Today that spot is Ebbets Field. But it is in the field of transportation that New York has shown the greatest progress.
In 1825, a horse car made the first trip to Mineola, Long Island in 32 hours.
Today, the Long Island Railroad makes the same trip in 30 hours.
In 1883, the Brooklyn Bridge was completed.
The minute that the Brooklyn Bridge was open, small businessmen went to work.
Pardon me, friend. Would you care to buy this beautiful new bridge for only a small down payment I can?
But it wasn't until 1898 that the five boroughs of New York were joined together to make up Greater New York, the world's greatest city.
But New York, with all its brilliance and all its power, cannot live down that horrible blow it is given each week when we hear... From New York City, here is the Milton Berle Show.
Mr. Gallup, New York means different things to different people. To the young man, it means nightlife. Remember years ago when you sing to that one and only girl. Oh, come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Cynthia. Precious memories of Cynthia. It was on 42nd Street in the theater that we met. We just looked at each other and you fell into my arms. Slippery runway, wasn't it? Cynthia, my burlesque queen. Remember that night you did the Oriental cooch cooch? Then the cops came in and threw you in the can-can. That was bad, bad. Should have been out, out. But my favorite, Cynthia, Cynthia. Sit still. My favorite was your fan dance. You used to come out and pull off your feathers. It was no use. They kept growing back. Cynthia and your dancing feet. I remember how you used to kick your leg up in the air, then that cute way you'd catch it on the way down. Kind-hearted Cynthia, you danced in burlesque just to support your mother. You had to support her. She danced next to you and she kept falling down. I like that one. I don't care. Lovely Cynthia, you entered every beauty contest. How proud you were when they named you America's Best. Then you found out they meant America's Beast. But Cynthia, my fondest memory, Cynthia, was the finish of your dance when you did that split. I could never decide which half of you to take home. So until they glue you together, I'll keep singing of that the song I love, the melody of Party, Gory, Naughty, Body, 42nd Street.
Ladies and gentlemen, as long as you have a choice among cigarettes, isn't it wise to choose the cigarette suggested by eminent nose and throat specialists? The one cigarette that gives you the advantage of better taste, finer flavor, because it's the one cigarette proved definitely less irritating than any other leading brand. Remember, that one cigarette is Philip Morris. Now, maybe you're saying, but I don't feel any irritation from my cigarette, so why should I change to Philip Morris? Well, this may surprise you, but many, many smokers actually experience cigarette irritation without recognizing the symptoms. Take that tight, dry feeling you sometimes get in your throat after smoking, or that occasional cough, or that musty, stale taste in your mouth when you wake up in the morning. Perhaps you never realized it, but all these may be symptoms of cigarette irritation. Think of that as you listen now to the words of one of America's top-ranking doctors. Here's what he recently said about Philip Morris.
I am convinced that Philip Morris cigarettes are less irritating than any other cigarettes.
Yes, that conviction is confirmed by eminent nose and throat specialists all over the country. And that's why, in cases of irritation due to smoking, these doctors suggest change to Philip Morris. The facts are plain. For a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke, change to Philip Morris. Take a tip from eminent nose and throat specialists and see what a difference it makes to smoke America's finest cigarette.
Thank you. That was the Lull and Lullaby of Broadway played by Ray Block and the Philip Morris Orchestra. And incidentally, I'd like to mention that Ray Block just returned from a record-breaking tour. He went around with Petrillo breaking records made after December 31st. The cello player just dropped his teeth. I just... from the program, True or False. But let us continue. Let us continue now as we salute to New York as we present...
New York Forum tonight. New York Forum tonight. The question, should the New York subway be investigated as an underground movement?
Thank you, Mr. Gallup. Let's commence now with questions from our audience. All right, let's start with this gentleman in the first row licking stamps with a calf's tongue. Yes, sir?
Mr. Burrow, my home is Florida, but there are two things keeping me here in New York. And one of them is your program.
Oh, that's good. What's the other thing?
My keeper at Bellevue.
Thank you, Henry Morgan. Now, let us continue. All right, this young man with the pigeon on his head and the nervous look. Young man, what is your name?
My name is Plaza 81599.
Plaza 81599, that's your name?
Yeah, my father named me after his bookie.
Oh, I see.
I come from a gambling family.
Yeah?
I got a twin brother named Bingo.
Bingo?
Yeah, when I was born first, and then Bingo.
Let's take it again, son, please. And Bingo, your family has gambling names?
All but my mother.
What do you call her?
Nick the Greek.
All right, Plaza 8. You have a question about New York?
Why, is there something wrong with being from New York?
No, but
then what are you standing there like a schnook asking questions?
I just thought...
What, are your wives got in Jersey stirring up trouble?
No, I'm
if
not
If you
from...
don't like it in New York, then blow. Who needs you?
I didn't...
Where else do you find such friendly cab drivers and such good holler bar? In little old New York. Where else can you phone Jack Eichel for a nickel and wish you didn't? In little old New York.
Please.
Ah, your mother's snowplow.
Let us not lose our tempers. Let's hear now from the women in our audience. All right, this lady in the aisle with a can of Sterno cooking her husband's goose. What is your name, madam?
Paula Feeney. I'm a homemaker.
I see. And you have a question that concerns New York City.
Yeah. Why won't my husband Brentwood ever leave Delancey Street? He's been on that street so long, he looks like a pushcart.
Like a pushcart?
Yeah, when he gets loaded, they roll him in the gutter.
Your husband loves New York?
He's nuts about the air in New York.
The New York air?
Yeah, fresh air makes him gag.
No kidding.
Last year he went to Atlantic City, took one whiff of that good air and fainted.
He fainted?
They had a wave of salami in his face to bring him to.
Tell me, what else does your husband like about New York?
He loves to ride in the subway. For 30 years, he's been hanging on those straps.
Has it had any effect on him?
Only when he walks, one hand drags on the ground.
What a long arm.
It's kind of handy. When I'm in the bathtub, he washes my back. It's amazing.
What's amazing about him washing your back?
In the living room.
Oh, I see.
He's chairman of the League of Indignant Citizens Against Tearing Down the Third Avenue Well.
They're mad?
Mad. They say if the Third Avenue Well comes down, they're going to raise a little L of their own.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Feeney. Thank you. And now for the climax of our forum tonight, it is an honor to present one of New York City's finest. He is none other than that famous New York policeman, tough as nails, strong as an ox, whose burly shoulders and mighty arms maintain order. I want you to meet Patrolman Casey Featherfield. Ladies and gentlemen, Officer Featherfield.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. I treasure this moment as one of the most glorious adventures of my life to speak a few kind words to the many men I've arrested in Times Square and the women I pinched in the subway.
Tell us, officer.
Excuse me, Mr. Burrell. Do you mind if I sit down? I'm pooped.
You're tired?
On the way over here, I picked a grape off a fruit stand. I think I strained myself.
But, Officer Featherfield, a grape isn't heavy.
This one had seeds in it.
Oh, that's different. How did you ever become a policeman?
It was natural. I was born with flat feet.
Flat?
Yeah. My mother was frightened by the top of my father's head.
Your father's head was flat?
Flat. Yeah. We always had to tilt him to get the dandruff off.
Officer Featherfield, have you had many fights with criminals resisting arrest?
Just one. She was big, too.
She? A girl?
She punched me in the nose. Mm. When I saw my blood, I was so shocked I fainted.
You were shocked at your own blood?
Yeah. I didn't know I had any.
Well, you'll excuse me for saying this, officer, but you don't seem to be very brave.
How about that? Yeah.
I imagine criminals aren't very afraid of you.
They shrink back in terror when they see me standing there with my old persuader at my side.
Your old persuader? That's your gun?
No, that's my wife.
Wait a minute. Your wife is a policewoman?
Yes. That's why I'm going to retire.
Retire?
Yes. My wife is 6 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and weighs 340 pounds.
Yes?
Mr. Burrell, that's enough bull for one family.
Thank you very much, Mr. Featherfield. Thank you. Here's our young singing star, Dick Carney, to sing.
I'll dance at your wedding.
Sing it, Dick.
I'll dance at your wedding. I'll dance at your wedding. I'll have a wonderful time. I'll drink to your father. I'll drink to your mother. Then I'll have another for old lang syne. I'll kiss all the ladies, the young and old and then. I'll have myself another drink and kiss them all again. I'll dance at your wedding. I won't miss that wedding. I'll dance at your wedding. Am I gonna shine at your wedding? Am I? Kiss all the ladies, they're young and old and then. I'll have myself another drink and kiss them all again. I'll dance at your wedding. I won't miss that wedding. I'll dance at your wedding. Am I gonna shine at your wedding and mine?
Dick Farney, really slow. Now, there's a grand combination. Dick Farney singing with Ray Block's orchestra behind him. The trouble is that they're always four. Yeah, don't go away. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. You know, I was about to say there are always four bars behind him, and I got mixed up. Like usually, you get caught up in your mouth, and you know what to say. So that's the reason I was doing. Did you say something, Mr. Gallup?
No, did you?
Mm-mm. Must be people upstairs again. I'll have to speak to Mr. Rockefeller when he comes around for the rent. Yeah, we're all proud of our city of New York, ladies and gentlemen, but being proud isn't enough. We have duties as citizens, such as jury duty and cooperating as witnesses. Let me tell you what happened the time that I was a witness. It was one night last summer. My wife and I were sitting out on the porch. It was a beautiful, romantic night. Oh, darling. Darling, what a night. Look at the stars. You could reach out and pick them, and that moon, it's like a silvery beacon showing love is the way to happiness.
Oh, stop slobbering and come into the house.
Gee, darling, I feel just like I did the night I proposed to you 6 years ago. I feel so romantic tonight.
Well, that'll make it twice in 6 years.
Okay, okay. Gee, it's after midnight. Look, look at those two cars weaving down the street.
Oh, they're going to crash.
Look out, look out, look out! They did. The drivers are getting out. I better go over.
Hey, you! You run right into me. Why don't you look where you're going? You cut right in front of me. It's your fault.
Oh, it is not.
Well, wait a minute. Pardon me, gentlemen, for interrupting. Is there anything I can do?
Ah, a witness. Yeah, I want you to testify that this drunken bum is drunk.
Oh, I am not.
Well, wait a minute, gentlemen. Here's my card. The name is Burl.
Oh, that's wonderful. We'll put this reckless bum in jail. He's a menace to society.
Oh, I am not.
Well, Mr. Gallup, that was last July. After 22 postponements, the case finally came up last week.
Next case, McGonagall versus Benson. Counsel for McGonagall.
Your Honor, I will show that my client, McGonagall, sustained damages by the inebriated, intoxicated, alcoholic driving of Benson.
And besides that, he was drunk.
Oh, I was not.
He was, too.
Quiet, Mac. We're at the bar.
Good. Two beers.
Wait a minute. What did I call into this time? Well, it's my duty.
Counsel for Benson.
Your Honor, my client throws himself at the mercy of the court and will abide by your decision.
Oh, I will not.
Oh, brother.
Proceed. I call upon our only witness, a public-spirited citizen who wants to see justice done, Milton Berle.
Milton Berle to the bar.
Coming, Your Honor. I feel it's my duty.
Shut up.
Yes.
Raise your right hand. You swear to tell truth, whole, and nothing but?
I...
Sit down.
Look, I just want to...
Burl, will you tell us in your own words just what happened on the night of the accident?
Well, gladly. It was a beautiful night, and I was sitting...
I'm Jack! Strike him out! Bombs away!
Wait a call!
Fire!
Proceed, Burl. Burl, come out from under that chair.
Well, what happened?
Shut up! Proceed.
Mr. Burl, what, in your intelligent opinion, caused the accident?
Your client was drunk.
Drunk?
And he's still drunk.
That's a dirty lie. The other guy was drunk.
Oh, I was not.
Gentlemen.
Where's those beers I ordered?
Proceed with your story, Burl.
Yes, sir. It was a beautiful night, and I was...
Sitting... I object!
Point order!
Where's my beer?
Here, let's come.
Do not drunk! Follow that man!
What is this?
Shut up! Proceed. Well, you say my client was drunk, eh? What time did this accident, which you claim you saw, take place?
Oh, it was after midnight.
Aha! What were you doing up at an hour when all decent, respectable people are asleep? Explain that.
Well, it was a beautiful evening.
I object! Pass the salt!
Where's my beer?
Check your arm!
Close that bar!
Fire!
Proceed. And where were you, Burl? Obviously an alias. Where were you when the accident took place?
Me, I was sitting on my porch.
Aha! Uh-huh. Thousands of honest citizens having a roof over their heads. You have a porch.
You have a porch. You have a porch.
Yes, I have a porch. What's good enough for President Truman is good enough for me. Now look now. The people in the court agree with me, too. Look, I'm just a witness. What about the accident?
The accident you caused?
I?
If you had cleaned the snow from in front of your house, the cars wouldn't have skidded.
Snow? Your Honor, I demand that statement be eliminated. Snow in the street. The accident took place in July.
Where do you live?
In Queens.
The statement stands.
But, Your Honor...
What?
Percy, Pearl, we have evidence to show that with you on your porch was a blonde. Explain that.
Well, you see, it was a beautiful...
I object!
Turn the pump!
Where's my beer?
I got deal!
Turn the court!
And not for two.
Pearl!
I'm sorry, Judge. I guess I was carried away.
It does get exciting, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does.
Percy! And what, Pearl, was a blonde doing on your porch? I warn you, the white slave laws are strict in this state.
White slave? The blonde's my wife.
Your wife? A man on the porch with his own wife after midnight?
This is the most revolting case in my 30 years on the bench.
I was just sitting with my wife.
Your wife? Only a pinheaded jackass would believe a story like that.
Oh, I would not.
Now, you stay out of this. You're the cause of the whole thing.
Oh, I am not.
Now, look, Judge, I can explain.
And explain why you and your wife were up at that hour.
We're always up late. We wait until the neighbors go to sleep, and it's nice and quiet.
And it's also nice and easy to sneak into their home.
Oh, it's not so easy. Sometimes their windows are stuck.
Wait a minute.
Your Honor, I'm just a witness.
We know what you are. Your Honor, we have here the man responsible for the wave of robberies now sweeping Queens.
You have? Who?
You!
No!
Your Honor, I turn over to you Milton Berle, alias Fingers Fink.
No, it's Milton Fink. I mean, everybody knows me. Fingers Berle.
Fingers Fink, who with his blonde accomplice, Bessie the Barracuda, have burglarized their last home.
My wife, a barracuda. What a story. She can't even swim. Your Honor, I just came out. I'm just a poor white slaver. I mean...
Quiet! Step to the bar.
Yes, sir.
Fingers?
Again with the fingers. I'm just a witness.
Yes, a man low enough to lie and cheat just to get the $2.40 witness fee.
$2? I don't want the money. I don't want anything.
Sorry, Burl, but you're getting something.
I am what?
30 days and you'll like it.
Oh, I will not. Thank you very much. I'll be back in just a moment. In the meantime...
Remember this. No other cigarette can give you a cleaner, fresher, milder smoke than Philip Morris. No other cigarette can give you the advantage of better taste and finer flavor that Philip Morris gives you. Because of all leading cigarettes, Philip Morris and only Philip Morris is recognized by eminent nose and throat specialists as definitely less irritating. No other cigarette can make that statement.
This is Johnny again, returning now to the thousands of store windows and counters all over America. Look for me. I'll be waiting for you. Come in and call for Philip Morris!
Yes, if every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Call
Hello. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's it, 5. Pipe smokers, try Revelation pipe tobacco, a smooth blend of 5 tobaccos. Yes, relax, take 5, take Revelation, a fine pipe tobacco. The Milton Berle Show was written by Matt Hyken and Aaron Rubin. This is Frank Gallup saying goodnight for Philip Morris.
And this is Milton Berle. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.